You guys, are you familiar with the fact that God is holy? Have you heard this before? Okay, really quick, in-house, online, what does holy mean? Righteous. Good. What else? Sanctified. Set apart. Okay. Without flaw. Without flaw. I hear you. Different. Let's go. Different. Look, beyond normal. Like I said before, for God, it is not beyond normal for him to be beyond normal. That's his normal. Holy, set apart, different, other than. And yet, many people think that if a God is holy, then he is aloof. He's distant. He's cold. He's angry. Maybe he's exacting. That means he's picky. And some of those things may be very true. But you know that your God is actually beyond normal, if that's what you think normal is? Your God is also close. Check with me, Isaiah 57:15. Something significant about this God who is so holy is that he is so other than and so different, and yet he's close. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity." I mean, that's his house, eternity. "Whose name is holy." Whole, complete, full, perfect. Anything different from us so far? Only entirely. He says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." Let me just say it like this. God's willing to stoop down. You remember Jesus? He's willing to come to us. He's not just other than, although he is entirely. He's also like us. He came to us. He's holy and he's close. You guys, remember this. Holy and close, all at the same time. Remember Jesus. Understand that he is totally different than us and yet became us, became like us, died as us, died for us, because he chose to. Look, we're going through this whole in the desert, and so we thought, all right, let's talk about some really deep stuff, and let's do it in 5 minutes. I can't even say my name in 5 minutes, friends. But there's these big fancy words, and I want you to go and look them up a bit, but it's this idea of holy and close with these words, transcendent and immanent. He's transcendent, he's so other. He's so outside of everything that we know and even understand. He's so different, he's so perfect, he's so without flaw. And yet, he's Emmanuel. Emmanuel, imminent, the same root here. He's with us. He's holy, and he's close. Join me real quick in Exodus 19. It's 3 months into their journey out of slavery. They've already had a lot of different things happen. They've seen God come through in so many profound ways. They've complained quite a bit. God has shown himself to be holy and yet even close. But this is the one where they all come together, and I'll just read. Exodus 19:1-6. "On the third new moon, 3 months, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim," remember where they needed the water from the rock, and God was the rock and on the rock and the water. "And they came into the wilderness of Sinai, into the desert there, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God." Almost everybody agrees this was the same place that God first showed himself. Okay, in the burning bush, like, hey, Mo, you got to go. Remember that one? I'm summarizing quite a bit by saying, hey, Mo, you got to go. But while Moses went up to God, they all sat down there. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, like he's given them their official names. Look, I want you to talk to them. Tell them this, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is so personal, and I can't even go into great detail on it, but when an eaglet is going to learn how to fly, the mama eagle kicks it out of the nest, and it tries to fly. And if it's successful, cool. If it's not, mama comes down and catches it. God is saying, hey, don't get it twisted. I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of your sin. I gave you life. I carried you on my wings. First things first, I'm God. And I'm the one that saved you. You didn't do anything to earn salvation. I saved you. So he's transcendent, right? He's just beyond. And yet, he's imminent. He's close. He's right there. And since I brought you to myself, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. God says, I'm the one that saved you. And if you keep my word, if you keep my commands, then you'll be this chosen people. If you're hearing an if then and it sounds conditional, then understand this. God is not saying, look, if you do all these things, then I'll take you and save you. He already saved them. He already did. Now he's saying, to be my people, you got to stick in relationship. You got to, we get freaked out about religion and all that. Well, there's this covenant, right? There's this idea that you do what I've called you to do. And we're about to find out next week that it's really impossible for people to keep even the Ten Commandments. Jesus summed it up to two. You just heard about it in the state of the church, right? We love God and love others. We can't do that on our own. We need God. And he doesn't say, well, good luck. I know you can't do this. I'm holy. I got it all figured out. And I'm close. So I came. And I love you. And I want you. What we won't have time for is to hear how the thunder and the lightning and the smoke and all of the just craziness of God coming down would show how other he is, how holy he is, how transcendent he is. And yet he says, come on up, Moses. We're going to talk. And I want you to tell the people what I tell you. And he told them, tell the people don't come up on the mountain. They're going to die. I am that other. But I also love you so much that I'm going to come down. Can we get that for a second? Down. God is on top of everything. He said it right here, right? That you will be my people. For all the earth is mine. I'm going to finish with 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. Thanks for being adjustable with me there, Josh. If you heard in there, you're going to be my people, you're going to be this holy nation, you're going to be my priest, if that sounded familiar, it's maybe because you've heard it read way late in the Bible, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. This brings us back to this idea of verse 5. You keep the commandment, you keep the covenant, and you're my holy people. Look, I want you, but you've got to be in this relationship. It's not going to be like Weekend at Bernie where I take a dead guy and pretend like he's alive. I do all of it. No, look, he's called us to be a part of what he's doing and to make a huge difference in the world. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at how God says, look, you're my saved people. You're my set apart people. This is how you live it out. Will you be ready for that? Will you be ready for me to break through? Will you be ready for me to show myself to you and through you? Will you? Will you take that? Because I'm holy, and he requires us to be holy, and we can't do it on our own. So he says, I came and I did that for you. So you're my people. You believe in me. You trust me. You love me. You follow me. You show me. So here we go. 1 Peter 2:9 through 12. But you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, everybody a priest. Not just the people that get paid to be good, but all of us. You're a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's chosen people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, foreigners, and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. A lot goes on here and a lot to unpack, and you'll have to wait for next week for most of it. But I'll say this. God wants you. He's chosen you. If you're hearing his voice today, not Aaron Day's voice, not Crosswater's voice, but his voice, that I want you, I've come for you, I'm so other, I'm so holy, I make mountains tremble, people freak out, they can't even be around, and yet I actually became a baby. I showed up and I paid your price for you because I love you that much. But know this, he didn't pick you because of how amazing you were. He picked you because of how amazing he is. And he wants you to know that. And when you believe that and you know that and you keep stumbling towards that and you want that, then he says, look, you're going to proclaim my excellencies all over the place. And on this day of visitation that it talks about, lots of different teaching. You can definitely say the second time he comes back and every knee bows and every tongue confesses. But what about the fact that God comes down and visits you right here, right now in salvation, right here, right now in outreach, right here, right now in service? You ever heard being the hands and feet of Jesus? That's not just cute. You're the body of Christ if you're his. And so, right here, we end with this on the screen. We're not just set apart from sin or from something, from our Egypt, from our problems, from our thirst, from our hunger. We're not just set apart from something. Dear friends, my beloved brothers and sisters, babies in Christ, we are set apart for something. His glory. Proclaiming it, sure. Living it out. Walking in his holiness. And it's a miracle. And it's beyond normal. Look, Pastor John said it. You have questions on your app if you did that. I want to remind you that I'm going to give you probably starting last week, but for sure we're going to keep doing this. I'm going to give you a little extra in the questions to read and to go through. And in this case, it'll be Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8. Go see what made God choose his people to be his people. I've already answered it, but the Bible's way better at it than I can be. So would you take time to pray with me? Would you take time to ask God's Holy Spirit to open our eyes? Father, I want to thank you so much for the privilege, for the responsibility, for the joy of being your people. God, you are so different than us. You spoke and galaxies leapt into existence. You come down and you can't even show your full glory to Moses or he would die. And so you were kind and you just came down in thunder and lightning and smoke and fire. And then you came down as a man in Jesus. You being holy and close all at the same time. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Open our ears and our hearts. May we be willing to say, you're God and we're not, and we want to glorify you and honor you. We want to spend time with you. We want to know you. We want to make you known. God, may we not be distracted so easily by the things that so quickly trip us up. And when we do trip up, may we repent quickly, knowing that you are holy and you deserve all of us. But you're also close and you paid for us, so you paid a price so we could approach your throne of grace with confidence. God, I thank you that you broke through and that you stooped down and that you show us who you are, because we don't get it on our own. We're freaked out like the Israelites. No, you go, Moses, we'll die. Jesus, you paid a price so that the only death is us dying to ourselves and having life forever in you. You paid the price. You're awesome. May 2021 be a time of us proclaiming your awesomeness, your excellencies more and more. May we be your kingdom of priests, your holy nation, your chosen people, loved by you and loving because of you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.